This whole year, I've focused on what it means to follow Jesus. One of the great strengths that Christians have is to know their calling, to know that they are following Jesus, to care that they're following Jesus. You and I, as Christians, need to wake up to the fact of what Jessica did. The story she just told you is a true story of each and every one of us, except for the pregnant part. The true story of each and every one of us that shares with us the hurt that you and I are having as individuals. You know, we cannot be comfortable with someone else until we are at peace with self. We cannot be looking to the world to give us the advice because the world cannot see the inner workings of our mind and our spirit. Only God knows us truly. He even knows each little, let's use computer chips again, Brother Rand, if you don't mind. He knows when we have a chip that's acting up in this brain. He knows that we are going to be in a battle. Well, knowing, how do I know God knows that? He warned us about it. Throughout the complete Bible, throughout Scripture, we have found that God warns us about the evil and how for us to get away from it. It is not easy accepting trust, as many say, from a God that you can't see. Well, if I were on a sailboat, I would trust the wind that I cannot see. But you see, God says, I've come to indwell you. So therefore, you and I need to understand something, that we are in the army of God battling. And I mean a complete war going on. The war against God's church. This is God's church, people. We don't own it. What's the church? Not the building. It's each individual Christian makes up the church. We are, as individuals, the body of Christ moving on planet Earth. We are God's children. And we are responsible to take God's word to a lost and dying world. But there's a problem. What's the problem? The problem is the war that is going on inside of each and every individual Christian. The closer you will attempt to walk with Christ, the more hell is going to come against you. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, all hell's going to come against you. The more hell, I guess, the more you understand, whew, Lord, maybe I'm walking too close. I'm going to back off a little. Don't back off. God said, I want your all. I want everything in your life. I want to bless you. I want to keep you. I want you to trust me because of the war that is going on. That war begins on the inside of each individual. If you're to ask someone that you know, do you battle all the time with conflict in your life? A person that tells you no, the greatest conflict they have is lying. Every human being has to deal with conflict. Life is not fair, but you and I have no right to contribute to its unfairness. So here God says, this is you. Here's what I've called you to do. Then what happens? All hell breaks you loose. War. The war begins inside. And that war comes from Satan. Because you see, the enemy of God is powered by sin. And the father of sin is Satan. So when the enemy of God is powered by sin and the father of the lie and the sin, we know who we're fighting against. We're not fighting God. God's not mad at us because we get mad at him. He says, I know that the heart of man is evil continually. And by the way, I love you. And God said, I want you to be prepared to go to war against the enemy that's attacking you. Now, let me remind you, Satan has no authority over your new nature. You're born again spirit. He has no authority there. Neither will he attempt to have, because he knows he's already been kicked out of heaven by Jesus. It's not going to mess with that born again nature. So he deals with the old nature, and the evil and the world comes in. How many world wars inside yourself have we fought? Meaning the war from the world on the inside. How many times have you taken that step towards Christ and then taken four steps back because it got just a little hot? Because someone said that you are a fanatic. Fantastic. Now, as you most know me, I'm not into sports. UK, U of L, anybody else. Frankly, folks, I just learned from watching some of you all watch those games and think, oh, Lord, if they'd get that excited about you, what could really take place? The war against the church did begin in heaven, and God's the one who declared it. Now, a lot of folks say, well, now I want you to look, though, preacher, now pay attention. The war is in the heart of man. Yes, but it began in heaven, and God declared war against Satan, against sin. Now listen to the holy word of God, Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. And there was war, where? In heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. You're catching that. Michael, God's archangel, fights against them and they fight back. But he, Satan, was not strong enough, and they... See, folks, when your pastor is not strong enough to stand for the truth of God's word, it affects they, meaning everyone else. If the Christian body of Christ on earth, the church, backs away and refuses to stand for the truth of God, then they are going to be hurt. And the they is anyone that will come within sounding distance of you. So when they come within sounding distance of a Christian, what do they hear? Do they hear a word from God that can bring them peace? Or do they hear, well, you know, I'm tickled to death because you're just like me. Do we ever show a difference as Christians? And I'm not talking about getting cocky out there. I'm talking about, do people see Jesus in you? Do people see Jesus in me? But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled down to the earth and his angels with him. Okay, that's the beginning of conflict on earth. We got that? That's the beginning. But when we will listen to God's word, we know the ending. Read the last book of the Bible. Read the last chapter of the Bible. You know the beginning and you know the ending. So when we read and know the ending, and that ending means God wins, Jesus is victorious, but Jesus has always been victorious, folks. when he touched our lives as lost and dying, and he said, I love you, and I love you just like you are. Will you accept my son as Savior of your life? And then Christians say, yes, Lord. What, did you really believe that that meant that all hell was going to back off of you? No. You need to stand up. Be a good Marine. I'm sorry. Soldier, airman, but you know, stand up. Think of it. God says, I want you to head for the front of the battle line. Listen to me. I want you to head to the front of the battle line. God did not tell me that when I got there, that I was going to have to fight that battle in front of me. Read your scripture. Look at what every one of God's children did when God said, you're going to battle. They went, they stood, and they watched God as he won the battle on our behalf. Look at Gideon. God said, Gideon, you got too many people. It had worked all the way down to 300 warriors left. And he said, now with these 300, you go fight an army that you can't count. As a matter of fact, you can't even number their camels, much less how great that army is. Couldn't you picture Gideon with the 300 trying to convince that 300, the Lord our God has said that through 300 he will give us victory. Don't you think from the human standpoint that a few of them didn't think Gideon had lost it? He has become a fanatic, a fan of God, a fan of Jesus Christ. And when they stood, they watched the hand of God. What happened in that great battle? God gave them illusions. And as they came from their tents to fight against Gideon, they fought and killed each other. And God says, I'm already there with you. But how can an army stand in battle if we don't show up to fight? If we say, now, Lord, I know you promised me that you're going to give me victory. Now, listen, he didn't just promise me that he's going to give me victory. He says in his word to you and to me, you already are victorious. Now go and stand in my name. And if you die in the name of Christ, so be it. But have the heart of a warrior for God. Because we are a part of God's holy army. We are the ones that will stand now and should stand in the United States of America and say, enough is enough. You will not erase God from my memory. You will not erase Jesus from my prayers. And if I die, so let it be. Because you see, I got a taste of what it's like to live. And I realize from God's word, Christians never die. They're going to have a hard time scaring me with that one anymore. It's in the heart of who God is in our life. The battle is already won. And then we find out you can count it as though you're already here in heaven. You know, I like that. Count it, Larry. When you said yes to Jesus, you're already here. That means that can't be taken away from me. But it's the war that goes on in us. It's the war against our mind, a war against what's called human nature. And sometimes there's nothing human about the way human beings accept that human nature. You and I are commanded to love one another as Christ loved us, right? So if I love you, why would I get up and preach a lie to you? If I care about you, why would I worry more about your feelings than I do your eternal life? All the times that you'd get mad at your mother or father when you were growing up, especially as teenagers, or when you're growing up and nobody's right. I don't care who it is in your life. If they're over 18, they're wrong too. You remember those days? Well, you better remember them, especially if you have children, because you're going to relive them. Jessica and Andrew, you're going to relive them four times over. But God says, the war that started in heaven has been hurled to earth. Revelation 12, second part of verse 12. Woe, remember, I did the woe series with you. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath. Why? Why is Satan so angry? Because he knows that he has a short time. Satan goes against everything on earth. Everything, including the people. It is a war, a battle against the existence of the human being. Why? Because God created us to love us and for us to have the free will to love him back. Freedom. Is that not what America stands for? Freedom. I have a right to accept Jesus and go to heaven. You have a right to renounce Christ and go to hell. Are those real? Yes. Well, a lot of people that I know that are not Christians say it's not real. They'll know one day. But you see, folks, it breaks my heart. There's no reason that anybody should be lost and go to hell. No reason at all. Except for the church not being the church. Preacher, that's your job. I know what God's called me to. I read out of the same book what he called each and every one of us to. Yeah, you see, that's the reason I get away. I don't let people call me Reverend. I don't like to see that before my name, because it means one who deserves to be revered. The only person who ever has deserved to be revered is Jesus Christ. Now, pastor, that's great. Chaplain, that's great. What is that? That is a ministry within the body of believers that God calls us to. But each one of us are called to minister the way God calls each of us to individually. Larry Vance, there's only going to be one. Praise the Lord for so many. There's only going to be one, because God says I do it right the first time. How many times, any of you ever been told, don't raise your hands on it, ever been told, you weren't planned, I never wanted you, ever been told that you were just a mistake? Somebody didn't read the Bible. There's no one in existence that's a mistake. People make mistakes. God doesn't. And when those four children get into the world, will they find love, peace, and joy? They will at home. Do we not love our children? And listen, I realize a lot of parents are not parents. I realize that. Some are sperm donors and then incubators. But parenting a child, you do with love. You love that child so much that you do anything for that child. Those of us who would go off to fight a war, no matter where it was, when we would go into combat, and you would say, okay, what are you here for? Well, we're here to protect each other, and we're here to keep it from coming to America. We want to stop it where it is. The last couple of generations have not stopped it, and it's here already. Do I know the taste of victory? You better believe it. Do I truly believe in my heart that each of us will be able to stand in the strength that God gives us as individuals to stand strong for that truth that Christ had given us in our heart, I know it. Now, I've told you all, beginning first of January, first Sunday in January, the whole theme next year is going to be Set My Soul Afire. Set My Soul Afire. You'll hear the song. You will hear the truth that is within that song. You will be able to focus on how Christ really works within our heart. And God says to each and every one of us, I have a place for you. Show up and let me show you what I can and will do. Revival is a period of time to when Christians look into their own heart. Remember the focus on revivals that we've been in of years gone by. Do you remember when you would see people walk the aisle accepting Christ? And people says, because of the revival. Folks, God uses each individual Christian to witness out there. It is the congregation or the army of God that brings them in. There are a lot who get saved during periods of times like that. But it's because then the church wakes up and says, hey, we're in revival. Vine Grove Baptist Church is in revival. Well, how long is that revival? It's going to go through the whole year of 2016, every Sunday. It's going to be a focus of the church getting back to being God's church once again. Each of us have a part. Pastor does his part. All other leaders, do you know that every one of us are leaders? You're going to lead someone. I always try to tell the teenagers, do you have any idea how many of the younger kids are looking at your life and they want to be just like you? What are you showing them? I don't know. I really don't. What is going on in the hearts and minds of man anymore? You remember when you used to could look at your child and know what they were thinking? Now so often you look at them and don't want to know what they're thinking. What happened? War. War against the family. And God looks down. And when he looks down at the battle that is raging, he's calling us as his earthly army. Folks, I do not have to go out there and battle. I am commanded by God to protect my family. You are commanded by God to do the same thing. But I do not have to go kill a bunch of people that don't think like I think. My obligation, my calling, is to preach the gospel. Listen, if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't convict someone, you're sure not going to. You preach the gospel and say, here it is. But folks, the family has to get back to being the family. Mom and dad need to lead the family. Teenagers or other kids cannot lead the family. It is your position as a parent. Be a leader of the family. And God looks to us straight in our heart. And he says, surely, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and peace. And Lord, we ask for your guidance day after day. Remind us, Father, that it is through your army that we get to witness your word at work. We thank you, Father, that your word is so powerful. We praise your name, Father, that you even allow us the opportunity to worship in the name of your Son. We ask now for your blessing. Touch us as we commit our heart. The ministries you've called us to, Father, as we commit them to your guidance. We ask your blessing now upon each one, that as you touch our hearts, we will hear your voice and follow your calling. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.